Morning again, everyone, and welcome here, especially to all the visitors, newcomers. Please turn with me in your Bible or in your bulletin to Matthew chapter 7. Scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. May God bless the reading of his word. Boy, I got to preach three sermons in a row, and now I'm preaching while Dave's away. You guys are going to get tired of me. I hope not. There's a singer right now that most of you have probably at least seen about a little bit on the news named Miley Cyrus. That's not a good sign when you get that reaction. She has made some poor decisions lately. We're not going to talk about that. I just wanted to mention the lyric from one of her newer songs, a few lines of lyrics. I'm going to leave a little part out to make it a little more, well, something I'm willing to say here at the front of the church. But even so, the lines that she says is, to my homegirls here, shaking it like we're at a strip club, remember only God can judge you, forget the haters because somebody loves you. And I think she's using a similar sentiment that a lot of people use nowadays, and it's from the passage we looked at this morning, or in the old familiar King James, judge not lest ye be judged. And it's a common way to throw that phrase out there these days. The idea that, you know, if somebody's saying you're doing something wrong or that something's wrong and you don't agree with them, you just try and shut them down by saying, well, God said don't judge. And so I wonder, is that what Jesus is really teaching in this passage? Is this what he meant? I've been discussing controversial moral issues online in the past, and when someone realizes that I'm a Christian, well, they say, well, Jesus said not to judge, so if you're a Christian, well, you should stop judging. And I don't think that's the way Jesus meant for this passage to be taken. But unfortunately, most of the time, I think, when that phrase is thrown around these days, it's done by people who have never actually read what Jesus was saying in context, looked at what he was saying, and tried to really understand it. Instead, they've heard this line used before, and they've seen it work with somebody else, and so they think, well, I can use this to back up my argument, and that's all that they really care about. So this morning, we're going to look at what Jesus said in context, we're going to see what he meant by it, and we'll look at the cautions that Jesus gives us about judging. And I think as we look what Jesus says, we're going to be reminded that he said it, because far too often we are judging just very wrongly. That's why he speaks so strongly about it. One of the things that strikes me particularly about this passage is if we look at verse 2, where it says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I can't help but think that if we really believed that, and if we really remembered that passage on a daily basis, we would be acting very differently sometimes than the way that we do. After all, we're often very quick to accuse other people or judge harshly, but then we make excuses for ourselves when we do something wrong. We see others as doing bad things, while we're somehow virtuous. And sometimes Christians even try to use Bible verses to defend some of these poor actions that we're doing. We look at people, at other people one way and ourselves in another. As one philosopher put it, he said, I am firm, you're obstinate, he's pig-headed. So three people doing the exact same thing, but somehow if it's us, we're the ones virtuous while we're doing it. So in other words, we'll nitpick other people being blind to our own faults. If we look at verses 3 and 4, Jesus is using some really ridiculous imagery there, right? A guy walks up to you with a big piece of wood sticking out of his face, and he wants to help you get some sawdust out of your eye. And he says, I think you got something in your eye. And you're like, I think you need to go to the hospital. There's something very wrong here, right? And he's being ridiculous on purpose. He's being ridiculous to make a point. Saying, as ridiculous as that would be, that's how ridiculous it is when we are hypocritically judging other people. How many of us here this morning have been judged by other people based on an assumption or based on a rumor that they've heard about us, or a lie that they've heard about us. I'm tempted to ask people to put up your hands. Yeah, well, let's see. How many of you can remember a time someone has judged you based on something that they've heard or an assumption that they've heard about you? Okay, most of you have your hands up. The rest of you, maybe you just don't want to put your hand up. I think probably everybody here could think of some time when someone's made a wrong judgment about us. And then I wonder, how many of us can think of a time that we've done the same thing to somebody else? And I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. Somebody already was. That's okay. But, you know, it's funny, because for most of us, I think it's probably quicker that it comes to our memory when somebody's done that to us, right? Because we don't like thinking about those times that we've done something wrong. Let me tell you some of the reasons why we aren't fit to judge. And I'm going to illustrate them with two stories from my own life. In one of the stories, I'm the bad guy, so to speak, and the other one I'm not. One reason that we aren't to judge is we're not God. So when God is judging, God knows everything about the situation. He knows every detail, why something was done, how it was done, and more importantly, he knows the heart of the person, why they did it, their motives behind it, right? There was a ministry that I served at as a youth pastor, and I don't think anybody here knows anyone there, so I feel comfortable sharing the story. And one of the girls in my youth group, her grandmother passed away. And I got an email from her mom, and her mom was very upset at me. I had not called to talk to her daughter, I had not shown up to talk to her, let alone even called or anything. And she's very accusing in the email, how can you call yourself a pastor of any kind if you don't show up when the grandmother of one of your youth has passed away? What she didn't know is, or what she had assumed was, she'd assumed I had heard that the grandmother had passed away. I had no idea. And so she was judging me and my ministry work based on an assumption. And that's how it often happens. We might be making judgment calls about people, but we just don't have all the information. And most importantly, we can never see into somebody's heart, not like God can. So that's part of it. We just don't have all the information. So that's the first one. The second one, I just wanted to quote from 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, "The Lord does not look at the things like people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So the other thing is we make shallow, surface-level judgments based on appearances, and we judge hypocritically. When I was in high school, I was going through, for part of it, like most do, a bit of a rebellious period. For most of my high school years, actually, I wore a big, long black trench coat. And in my teenage mind, the one date was bothering me. You know, people aren't very friendly to me when I wear this trench coat. They're judging based on my appearance. And so as I walked home from high school on a particular day, I said, I'm going to give a friendly smile and hello to everybody I see just so they hopefully will realize, don't just be frightened of someone based on what they're wearing. And so I did that, and some people would smile and wave back, which was nice, and some just looked at the ground and kept walking. And as I was going along, I passed the driveway, and there was two guys in the driveway working on a Harley, and they were dressed like bikers. And I didn't say anything. As I walked past, in my mind, I said to myself, if they really wanted someone to say hi to them, they wouldn't dress like that. And immediately I thought, boy, I am an idiot. That's hypocrisy, right? And luckily, you know, I realized that pretty quick. But that's the kind of thing that we can do. We make judgment based on appearances. We make judgments hypocritically. Yeah, I was the bad guy in that story. There we go. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers or evildoers or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So I think that's the kind of judgment that Jesus is talking about. It's the kind of self-righteous, condescending judgment that we can make when we look at what somebody else is doing and we look down on them and say, oh, I wouldn't do that. There's a quote from a pastor speaking on this passage, and he said, "The picture here is ridiculous. We've heard it so many times that it's lost its humorous twist, but the people in Jesus' audience were probably laughing out loud. It sounds like a scene out of the Three Stooges. Here's one guy with a little piece of sawdust in his eye. There's somebody else with a 2x4 coming out of his forehead, and he's trying to get that speck out. Every time he turns around, the other guy has to duck." I think Jesus used the illustration of a plank and a speck because he was a carpenter, and it was familiar to him and familiar to the people around him. I don't think the plank in our eyes is necessarily a worse sin. I think he's talking about the sin of self-righteousness, of appointing ourselves as the official speck inspectors. So are there times when we're supposed to judge? I think there are. And I want to show you some passages that indicate that. But in this passage itself, first of all, in verse 5, it gives us an indication. Jesus didn't say don't judge and then just stop there. And this is really key to understanding what Jesus is saying. But yet, for people that are quick to cite off the first part of the passage, they never comment on, they never repeat the part of verse 5. It'd be like if Jesus were talking, and he's like, nope, that's enough. That's all I need to hear, Jesus. We don't need to hear the end part of it. He's like, well, I was going to qualify that with a few other things. No, that part's all I need to make my point. I'll just tell people not to judge. Jesus didn't just instruct us stay out of other people's business. Rather, he gave us the responsibility of helping our brothers and sisters. In verse 5, he says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So, you know, in everyday life, if you saw somebody with something in their eye, you don't just pretend you don't see it or ignore it because that's none of my business. You know, you tell them that they have something in their eye, or if there's like one of those eye cleansing bottles or whatever. I hate those things, but you give them that. You try and help the person. If you see, you know, if somebody has a splinter in their hand and they need help getting out, if it's a child needs help getting a splinter out of their hand, you help them, right? That's our responsibility. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do. But you don't do that while you have the 2x4 in your own eye, blocking your vision. Paul says in Galatians 6:1, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Notice that Paul here says, "you who live by the Spirit," not "you who are self-righteous" or "you who are better than them." You who live by the Spirit. And he says to restore them gently, not you see someone sinning, you angrily accuse them, or you put them down, or you demean them. And by the way, I think this is something that all of us can fail at if we aren't careful in our own motives before we talk to somebody. I was present at a point when some church leadership had called somebody in because they believed they had done something wrong. And rather than treating these people like brothers and sisters, the church leadership was pretty clearly angry, and they were looking down on them. And that was church leadership. So all of us can be vulnerable to this. We can all be judging in a poor way. So we need to be careful how we do it. We need to be thinking about why. Why am I talking to this person? Because I care and I want to help them? Or is it because I'm angry and I want to set them straight? Self-righteousness makes us puff up our chests and say, "you're wrong and I'm right and you'd better admit it." But Christian humility, on the other hand, remembers that I am every bit the sinner that everybody else is. If it weren't for God's grace and forgiveness, I would be in deep trouble. Let me tell you, you can be sure that when we have that self-righteous, accusing attitude, there's no way we're remembering that Jesus warned us that as we judge, so we will be judged. Because there's no way we would want God angry and harsh with us like we are with other people sometimes. And he is the only one who is truly self-righteous and who would be fully fit to judge us in such a harsh way. Just one chapter early in Matthew 6, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer that we are to say to God, "forgive us our trespasses or our debts or our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us." Right? So as we forgive others, that's how we're asking God to forgive us. And he goes on to explain, "for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So the main lesson, the main takeaway from this passage, I think, is we're not to judge hypocritically or self-righteously. That's That's the main thing I think Jesus wants us to get. Jesus says in John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearances, but judge instead correctly. So this is Jesus himself plainly saying there are times and circumstances when he wants us to judge, but he says to judge correctly. A big thing here then is what's in our hearts. Are we looking down on them, or are we trying to help them? Let me give you a couple more scripture passages. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So all the scripture is from God. And how are we to use it? Well, at times we're going to need to correct and rebuke people using the scriptures. So that requires us to make a judgment call, right? But we make those judgments in a gentle and loving way, and we use the scriptures to do it. That's how we judge correctly. 1 Timothy 6:3 says that if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. So that is Paul certainly making a judgment call about somebody, right? About people who have certain attitudes. And I think we can see a distinction here if we also read, and please turn with me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 9. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a person, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. But expel the wicked man from among you. So that's pretty powerful. So those inside the church, using scriptures, are the ones that we can make judgment calls about and that we're called to under certain circumstances. But if we know someone who's not a believer, who's somebody who's outside the church, and they're living an immoral lifestyle, and we know that they're living against what the Bible says, that's not our job to try and police their morals. Of course they're not living according to Christian morals. They're not Christians. They don't have Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Of course they're not living according to the expectations that we might have of those with us here. It's not our job to try and change people's morals or police people's morals. It's our job to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And when they believe in him and come to faith in him, it's going to be him that changes their morals. They're redeemed first, and then the morals change later. Jesus modeled this for us in his time here, doing his ministry here on earth, didn't he? He was ridiculed because of how much time he spent with those that were seen as sinners. But he showed them love, and he showed them acceptance. He wasn't condemning them and judging them. And that's not to say that if somebody asks us about what we think about a particular moral issue or what the Bible says about something, that we try and hide it. Of course, we don't do that. But it's to say that that's not what we should be trying to do or what we should be aiming for. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. The message of a person who's stealing from his work isn't, I don't want you to steal. The message of Jesus to them is, I love you, I care about you, I accept you, and if you repent and believe me, I will absolutely forgive you. And the message of Jesus to someone who's sexually immoral isn't, you're a horrible person and you're doing something wrong. Jesus' message is, yes, you're a sinner, but I died for you, and there is no one else that will ever love you like I can love you. When we picture to ourselves what a sinner looks like, if somewhere in that picture we aren't seeing ourselves, then there's something wrong. We're sinners like everybody else. So do we say like the Pharisee did, thank God I'm not a sinner like those people? Or do we say, God have mercy on me, a sinner? Because if we are properly remembering our own sins, it'll make it a whole lot harder to judge people and look down on them for theirs. Comedian Steve Martin said, never judge a man unless you've walked a mile in his shoes. That way you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes. So we aren't God. We don't have a perfect knowledge. We don't know what someone's gone through or why they're doing what they're doing. So we aren't fit to judge. Balancing that, another pastor speaking on this passage says, when Matthew 7:1 is used to forbid any condemnation of evil or sin, it's a clear abuse of Scripture. So proper biblical judgment is not only appropriate for believers, it's required for by Scripture in specific circumstances. So let's not make the mistake of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Let's not use this verse as an excuse to shirk our responsibility to judge, to discern, and to distinguish the difference between right and wrong. So when is it okay for us to judge and when is it not? It's okay when we're doing it in a loving way to a brother or sister. When we see something wrong and we want to help. It's okay when we see ourselves as a sinner trying to help another sinner. It's okay when we have taken the plank out of our own eye first and are trying to help them with the speck in theirs. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the many lessons that you give us in it and for the multiple times in the scriptures when you remind us about how quick we are to see ourselves as righteous and others as wrong. We pray that you would give us humility. We pray that you would help us to see ourselves as we really are, sinners saved by grace. Father, we thank you so much for what you did, for what your son did, dying on the cross for our sins and his glorious resurrection. We pray that you would be with each one of us today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.